In Queensland, it's 22 to 10. I'm Nicole Dyer. Let's go into the future. Once a month, we explore future trends, but today we're getting a little retrospective, paying homage to great Australian innovations of the past and why innovation's vital in the way that we move forward. And the best man for the job to help us do this is business futurist Morris Mizalowski. Morris, good morning.
Good morning, Nicole.
What Aussie invention, firstly, has changed your life? What's your favourite?
I think there's been lots and lots of them. I think one of the major ones is something we overlook, and that is the feature film. You know, Australians had the first full-length film in 1906. It was the Ned Kelly one.
Starring Mick Jagger, but that was before his, his time. Yes, I'm with you.
Well, maybe he was in it.
Or if not, another member, perhaps, of the Rolling Stones was in it. Keith Richards, perhaps. I didn't know that in 1906.
So it was the first feature film that we had. Of course, it was silent. It was black and white. It was all the things that we reminisce and think about. But it was the first feature. So what we had before then were a whole lot of short clips. I was probably up to about... They were about 6-7 minutes in total, and they weren't widely shown either. So we had the beginning of cinemas, but not with much content on them. So I know it sounds obscure, but a lot of the things that we do nowadays are all about the visual. You know, we love our movies. Television, for instance, of course, wouldn't come about without it. The movies and Hollywoods that we have wouldn't come about it. And also these YouTubes and things that we talk about nowadays incessantly are also part of this genre.
When it comes to medical marvels, we seem to have done exceptionally well in the areas of hearing and fertility. What's been our contributions?
Didn't we? So we have the cochlear implant, and that came in, or the bionic ear, and that came in 1979. It was, of course, invented by Professor Graham Clark, who's still doing some terrific work around that. And he brought hearing literally to the profoundly deaf. I mean, just one of the most beautiful miracles we can see. Just incredible. In 1984, Australian led the way in in vitro fertilisation when we had the first frozen embryo baby born in Melbourne. So again, a technique we now take for granted in many ways, have been around for quite a while, but in its day revolutionary and still, again to use that word miracle, still bring about miracles every day.
Why Australia though, given there are so many other countries that probably spend so much more money on research? How have we managed to achieve what we've achieved here in Australia?
Yeah, you're right. We do seem to punch much above our weight. Australians have for a long time this sense of isolation in one way, and that's, if you have a look at many of the technological advancements, they are often because of isolation, because we are a country, we need to connect ourselves, we need to speak, we need to find out from each other. So we have some really interesting things come about around that. And around medicine also, we seem to have some of the best thinkers on the planet. And maybe it's because, again, of this isolation, which is often one of the things that we've talked about in the past as being the root of invention, that we don't have, you know, we can't fly, you know, 2 hours away to go talk to somebody. And up until very recently, it was difficult to connect with other communities, scientific communities. So we had to do it on our own, and we started from our own. And importantly, hackneyed saying, I don't really like all that much, but I'll use anyway. We think outside of the box because of that. We're just different thinkers.
Yeah, there you go. I had no idea about the feature film and nor the cochlear implant. I had an inkling, though, that we might have had something to do with the Hills Hoist. But just to clarify, though, the Hills Hoist is very Australian. Did we have anything to do with clotheslines, per se, around the world, or just here?
Well, Hills Hoists have sold around the world. So certainly we were the first to have that kind of innovation, and it certainly spread across the planet. So there are many variations of the Hills Hoist that are based on it.
So who invented it? Somebody called Hoist.
Or somebody
Hills.
Called
Hill
Hills.
Hoist. Yeah, that's right. Or two people, Hills and Hoist. Yes.
Possibly so.
So we don't know. All right. So you say that all of this invention is fabulous, if you like, groundwork for the future ahead. Where are we heading?
Well, we are heading very much into an innovation space. Over the last year, especially the last year and a half, we've seen more innovation than we've seen perhaps in the last 5 years or so. And that's because even though we are still in the middle of an economic turmoil, we're out of the GFC, when companies and individuals didn't have what they perceived to be spare money to look for this innovative stuff. They were too busy doing the mundane and what they had to do to get through life. All of a sudden, in the last year or so, people have begun to realise that there's lots of stuff we still need, lots of stuff that's been invented that can be repurposed, and that's why we have innovation in abundance at the moment. And we're seeing some really interesting things on the horizon, things that I think will change the way that we see the world.
Such as?
Well, Time, the Time magazine, has just come out with their 2012 Best Inventions of the Year. It's an interesting read if you're down that road, easy enough to find. But what they've claimed as one of the biggest innovations of the year is Google Goggles.
Tell me more about Google Goggles.
So Google Goggles is something we've briefly talked about before when we talked about the 3D world, the ability to be able to see, to wear something, and then to be able to see additional information, not just in theatres, but as we walk around the streets, as we're in our offices. And what Google has done is put together the first prototype that will go on sale, by the way, next year, which is, to all intents and purposes, it looks like a pair of safety glasses. So it's got that plasticky look about it. You put them on, and what you have is a heads-up display inside of the screen, so inside the goggles. And you're able to see all kinds of things. And those kinds of things are really whatever you want to see. They can be the directions to where you're going. They also can have, again, with the right software attached to it, face recognition, so you can see who you're talking to. In medicine, I'm talking to a lot of hospitals, a lot of medical providers, as being able to do face recognition of patients to get their records up inside of these visors, inside of these things, as you see the patient, so you'll be able to see the latest records, the latest tests, see when they've eaten last, when they've gone to the bathroom, whatever you want, all inside of these glasses. So we seem to think that that's going to be on the horizon, another game changer in the way that we view and walk around the world. In manufacturing, it's going to do the same. We'll be able to walk around factories and know how to do something. So we'll know when the machine's working properly, when it needs servicing, what it requires of us. So this connectedness is definitely on the horizon.
Sorry, my mind is still trying to catch up on this, that you are a functioning human being, but in a sense you've got all this additional information that's going into these safety glasses. That can't be good for multitaskers or people who struggle with that. It'd be so distracting, wouldn't it?
It might be, but again, think about all of those wonderful movies like Top Gun. In fact, most of our pilots, not the domestic ones, but the ones that are in the Army, Navy, etc., and Air Force, of course, are wearing these kinds of visors and have for over a decade or so, where what they're getting is additional information inside of their screen helmets that tell them that kind of information. We're also beginning to see motor vehicles, not with the glasses obviously, but motor vehicles that give you a head-up display onto your windscreen as you drive. So instead of having to look down, what you're doing is looking forward. So the distracting nature of it, you're absolutely right, but hopefully as we become more mature with all these technologies, we'll only have on it, if we want it, whatever's relevant at that time. I hope we're not going to have all the incessant chat and the tweeting and the Facebooks and that kind of stuff.
Do you reckon that's going to just peter out?
The
Facebook and the importance of Facebook and Twitter.
I think it already is starting to. You see it trending towards. I think that we're reaching maturity level with it, hopefully, and that is that we're kind of over, you know, the new kid in the candy store stuff, and people are really beginning to say, I really only want to hear stuff that's relevant, that I think is interesting, and otherwise kind of leave me alone for a while. So that trend's already starting. I think that it's going to abate, as you said, and that we will start to use those kinds of tools really just for communication, as we have with everything else, the phone, the SMS, and whatever else.
Okay. With me, Morris Mizalowski, just quietly between you and me, Morris, I'm kind of pleased about that. And it's really funny because I had a colleague of mine who shall remain nameless, who is very, very tech savvy, saying that very thing to me yesterday when asked, have you been on Facebook? To which they replied, oh, I'm a bit over it.
Yeah.
And I was floored. I mean, if it was just someone who dabbled, you'd go, yeah, but this is someone who really gets their technology. And to hear that from them and to have them add, I just really don't care about everybody else's life. And I just thought, fair enough. I think we're getting to that point.
I hope we are. I really do. And I've been saying that for a little while. That, you know, it's kid in the candy store. It was all new stuff. It was interesting at one point, or perhaps besotted at another point, whatever's the appropriate terminology. But right now, kind of been there, done that, seen it. Everyone else can do it. Let's move on. It's what I'm sensing out in the marketplace. And you can see that by the volume of tweets and other things that you're getting from people who are more mature in their use, meaning they've been around for a little bit longer, use it for a little bit longer, and like your friend, have just begun to hold back.
Yeah. Morris Mizalowski, business futurist with me on 91.7 ABC Coast FM. You mentioned Google Goggles as in one of the to watch out for trends in Time magazine. Was there anything else in that list of things to come that we should know about?
They actually have tons of them, and they've broken them down into price points. So if you want to go into the other end, Google Goggles being around the $1,400 mark, if you've got a spare $2.5 billion, their best invention of 2012 was the Curiosity rover, the thing that landed on Mars and is still zooming around up there.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, that makes sense.
Yes.
And we do get to see the photos and various footage that comes back to Earth. I don't know. I see it. I go, oh, yeah. Bit of red rock, bit of sand. That was worth $2.5 billion, but I'm sure it is. I'm sure.
Look, we were always told down the track that it is as much the same as we are with all the moon rockets and things that we had. We see the innovations coming back to us 10, 15 years down the track after they've trialled at that costly end. It then begins to dwindle down into us mere mortals and we begin to find purpose in them.
Morris, always interesting. Thank you very much for taking us into the future. I'm very happy we're still in the present, and we will catch up with you in about a month's time.
Look forward to it. Thanks again.
Business futurist Morris Mizalowski. He's a very happy, easygoing guy. If you'd like to keep up with what is trending, and we just touch the surface there, facebook.com/businessfuturist is the way to go. Speaking of Facebook, he's still into it when it comes to future trending.